chapter 7 in the book of John. Amen. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. This is a place where he would not walk with the Jews, because he kind of confused a few people. One thing he did, he told his 12 disciples, "I've chosen you, one of you is a devil." And that one, I'm sure he got his feelings hurt. He probably took it personal, although he may not have called his name out. He knew who he was. And he probably spread the word. He's calling us devils now. But I don't know all the reasons. I know that some good things were happening, and he'd said some things that confused a lot of people, and he did one great thing that had them talking about him. But after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, "Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come." When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceives the people." Howbeit no man spoke openly of him for the fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill?" The king. I thought the king was Elvis. No, okay, back here. "But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple and taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I'm coming from. And I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. And you don't know him, but I do, because I am from him, and he sent me." I like that boldness. Trying to hide himself, and he's standing in front of him, just looking right at him. Really hidden, isn't he? Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go again, or I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Where will he go that we cannot find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, You'll seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. You can be seated, so I won't keep you standing too long. I don't want you to pass out. Verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, He's still among these people. Now, you know, nobody's laid hands on him yet. And nobody has arrested him. He's just doing whatever he wants to do. Because his time has not come yet. Amen. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I thought it'd be good to read all that setting, you know, sometimes we start in the middle of Scripture, you don't really understand where it's coming from. But Jesus has healed somebody on the Sabbath day, and he got everybody mad at him. Because that is a work in their minds. He did a work on a day when you're not supposed to work. And he kind of just put it back on them. You've done some things on the Sabbath too. You circumcised somebody on the Sabbath day. Isn't that something you did? Amen. And here they are seeking to kill him over what he did, and he's standing in front of him trying to hide himself. He told his disciples, You go on, and I'll stay back here. And then he decided to go on, and then he got in front of them all. I wonder what those disciples were thinking. You know, he's supposed to be hiding. That's our Jesus. He's going to get himself in trouble. But in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So bear in mind now, when he said, Rivers of living water shall flow. He was talking about the Holy Ghost that was not available for them to receive yet. Amen. Isn't this good stuff? Amen. But it wasn't going to be long before they'd be able to receive the Holy Ghost. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him. And we should tell everybody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, use this scripture here, because a time did come when the Holy Ghost was given and is still available today. And this is the Word of God. This was about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on Him should receive. Everybody that believes on the Lord needs the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, This is a prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? There's always somebody knows more about the Bible than everybody else. And out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was, so there was division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never spake a man like this man. I just love people that know how to talk themselves out of trouble. The officers answered, Never spake a man like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But the people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto him, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went to his own house. Let me tell you something. When it's Jesus, and Jesus is in you, and you know it, let Him do what He's going to do. Because sometimes I see in us exactly what I just read in that entire chapter. Elements. Elements of, oh, I don't know about this. And many times the confusion is not necessarily in the crowd around you, but it's in the we that we talked about earlier. A part of me wants to say, this is God. This is God. Where I'm going, this is Jesus taking me there. There's another part of me wants to say, well, can this really be God? Can this really be Jesus' will? Because there's some things that we know concerning what might happen over there. So there's that part that says, this is God, let's go. There's another part that says, let's go somewhere else where we can be received. Let's go to the people that are easier to talk to. And then there's another part that says, but this has to be God. And there's another part that says, it can't be because of this and because of that. Now, what's kicking in here is the we that Brother Wellington was talking about. Amen. We've got to get our whole household together. We've got to get the us in harmony. Hallelujah. And the only way to do that is just go ahead and believe Jesus. Glory. Amen. And when He speaks to your heart and you know that He's in your life, go ahead and listen to the first thing. And you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. And you just go ahead and tell your flesh, you're going too, come on. Because you don't want to go anywhere without taking yourself. Amen. And you might find yourself trying to hide in the crowd. And that might be exactly what Jesus wants you to do. Because when we decide to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus, then we need to be prepared to still let Jesus have His way. Don't take the boldness that you had when you started out to go against your own will and finally gave in to your will and went. Don't take this boldness now that you received and kill everybody with it. Right. Or cause them to come at you and get you arrested. Yeah. Because there is a time and a season for things, even in the will of God. And Jesus knows when the time is, when He needs to be exposed. Jesus knows how to bring out the best of the situation for the time that's at hand. He tells us in His Word to redeem the time. He tells us to walk circumspectly, considering everything that's going on around us. In other words, what you say, let it be something that Jesus draws out. Don't let it be something that you have manufactured because you had the boldness to get up and go along. If these disciples had butted in, they could have caused a lot more confusion. I'm telling you, you are many things. And we're so right on target with this we stuff. Because you are a representative, having Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're also a follower. You're a disciple learning to follow Him and to study to be quiet and do your own work. That's all going with you when you go forward. When Jesus says, come and follow Me, and you find yourself following Him, and all of a sudden there's trouble up ahead because of Him. Confusion in your family because of Him. That one that I used to run the streets with, and now I don't know what to expect because of him. That one I used to live with that knows a whole lot of stuff, and now I'm different because of him. I didn't know I was going to come down this trail when I decided to go because of him. And sometimes there's a lot of confusion because of him. So here you go. You are an ambassador. You are a disciple. And you're a son of God. Is this deep? Or are y'all just thinking? Or you just want to know what I'm going to say? I thought everybody knew this already. Don't you? Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm not nervous. I'm just thinking, you know, you're supposed to be the amen corner. I'm teaching people that's never heard this stuff before. Y'all heard this for 40 years. So, I mean, y'all, I need to, you know, not for me, but they need to hear somebody agree. Is there anybody here that even knows a thing about what I'm talking about? If so, it's an order to say, amen, brother. They need to know that what I'm telling, I'm not the only one here that believes it. It sounds like we're in a library tonight. Amen. I ain't scolding you. Hey, people, I want to tell you people on the internet, all 30,000 of you, I apologize to you that my amen corner went to sleep on me. Because they're trying to learn what I've already supposed to taught them. What you going to, you know, because here's what you brought to church with you. You brought to church with you a disciple of Christ, which you are. You brought an ambassador, experienced follower, which you are, and you've been around. And you've heard all this stuff before. And you brought with you some things that are troubling your mind because you're having to deal with the world every day. And you brought with you tonight to worship your God, a desire to hear the word of the Lord. But if you don't watch yourself, preacher's going to get up here still reaching for a bunch of hungry souls never heard this for the first time. And you're going to be sitting there listening and saying, please, preacher, tell me something I haven't heard before. I'm not here to clean tools tonight. I'm here to use the tools, and they need to be saying amen when I preach. If we got to get you fixed every time we go to church, we ain't going nowhere with this ministry. Fix yourself. Rebuke yourself. Somebody told me about a man that has been to church here a few times while he was taking some drugs. He rebuked himself while he was taking his dope. Said, I rebuke me in Jesus' name. That ain't the way you do this. God's good. We came tonight because we needed something. You know what you really needed? What you really needed was that ability to come springing through the door, praising God because this is my church. You didn't need a song to prime you up. You didn't need a testimony to get you ready to go. You didn't need somebody making you feel good and shaking your hand and smiling at you. Although we do all those things. But the church needs to come to church and bring the church when you come to church. And when you leave the church needs to go with you. And the service should begin after we say the dismissal prayer. When you go out the door, let the service begin. Church meeting here is a session. It is a time when we get together and have a praise rally. It's a time we come together to hear the word of the Lord, not because the church needs to be fixed. I don't need this building if we got to keep doing this over and over. I mean, if you come into church not living for God, what are we doing with these cameras? They don't need to see that. Don't bring any visitors here, please, if that's what we are. I don't want people looking to my rusty toolbox and realize these tools haven't been used. They're just sitting there, and I open it up, and I look at them, and I close it, and I open it up, and I look. Look, it's Thursday night. Tuesday night going to be a time when we look at each other and go home? No, it's not. And I know you know that. I'm not rebuking anybody, but I want to remind you, if you got trouble in your life, it ain't because Jesus caused it. Hallelujah. If you're struggling with something in your life and you don't know how to love your brother and your sister, forgive and put things behind you and let your house be in order, it ain't because Jesus caused it. Hallelujah. If you can't worship God tonight because of something that's happened to you that's about to blow your mind, messing your mind up and got you all confused, it ain't because Jesus caused it. But I'd like to ask all of you that have been around for a while, have you ever shouted and praised the Lord freely? Do you know what it is to love God with all your heart and love everybody with everything you got? Do you know what it is to get up from where you are and follow Him with no reservation, without holding back, without being afraid, with that boldness to tell anybody and everybody about how much you love your Jesus? Do any of you remember a time whenever you were willing to go anywhere with Him? Leave everything behind and walk with Him, no matter who's looking, no matter who's listening, no matter who knows what, no matter who thinks what. You made up your mind, and here you go. As long as I know my Jesus has taken me. He's the same one that met me when I was a sinner, forgave me of my sin. Does any of you, do I have anybody here that can say amen to that? Is there anybody here that left sin to follow Him? Is there anybody here that experienced the blessings of Holy Ghost power in your life, where it was like a river of living water springing up? Because let me tell you, the Holy Ghost has been given. I'm not speaking of that which has not been given. I'm not talking about a Jesus that's hiding Himself to go into a crowd because the people on the outside are all confused and some of them may want to kill Him, may want to kill you. No. That day's over with. We're talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
Something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's not expected in the church. Thank you. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not even something God would approve of. So how is it that any one of us that ever experienced the joy of the Lord, which is our strength? How is it that any one of us could even entertain the idea of being anything less than the best that we were at the most special time that we were so free to sit on the front seat if we could and wave those hands and praise our God and let Him speak through our vocal cords? Did any of you ever have that experience? If so, stand up. If you ever did that, stand up. Now, you can sit down. I didn't even look to see who stood up. But let me tell you, if you stood up, are you where you were then? Because the Bible says we're not of those who draw back. So where are you? If you're not that far up now, where are you? You're not in front of us. We're not of them that draw back. What you trying to do, split the church? No, you are. You're trying to split your whole self apart. Ain't no way you can be happy if you're anything less than the best you've ever been for Jesus. Because Jesus is not a backsliding Jesus. Jesus is not a look back Jesus. Jesus is not a go back Jesus. Jesus is not a good look at the world again Jesus. Jesus is not a love this over here, love that over there, grab a hold of this, think about that over there. He's not that kind of Jesus. He says, let's go to the next town that I may preach there also. Let's go to church again that I can stir up my people and remind them of the gift that's in them. Remind them of what they got. Do you know what you have? What you have, it's that same Spirit that God poured on you the time that you were so free. What happens to your freedom? What happens to your freedom that causes you not to be able to be as free? The Bible says who the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, I believe He's preaching at me. Well, if you believe in that, that's probably exactly who I'm preaching this to. Because I didn't point this to anybody, I didn't plan to say any of it, but Jesus heard what I read. He said, I want to get in on this message.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Mm. Hallelujah. Help us, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because this word is just as new tonight as it was when it was penned.
Glory.
And what it's about is just as real right now as what we're reading about happened 2,000 years ago. There are still people today, if Jesus were here, and just the man Christ Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee, they would want to put Him to death. They want to kill Him. In fact, He probably wouldn't be able to carry a license in the same group that I carry my license with. When He'd meet the board, they'd size Him up and see how He's dressed and what all He's got on. How He rubs shoulders with all these sinners. They'd probably want Him to wait a couple of years and come back and try it again. God Because he probably would not rise up to their standards. Amen. Ain't whole enough for the... this is the same old spirit he's meeting here with these Pharisees. These Pharisees were religious people that believed in God. I mean, they believed in keeping the commandments. And these people that wanted to kill him, they believed in going to the synagogue and hearing the Word of God. And they believed in keeping the rules, and they believed in order. They believed in being religious. This is who he was dealing with. They wanted to kill him. And in this passage, you notice I read even his brethren. Those that had followed him had decided they didn't believe him anymore. My Lord. I'd hate to think that I was in Connecticut for 31 years to end up with a bunch of unbelievers. I know I don't. I don't think that. If I did, I would just preach louder and harder and probably be known as the Nut of Norwich. Stand on the street and say, "Oh, you heathen!" Yeah, I would. But at least what I got to be real. I know a preacher once. I went. In fact, I was there when he said it. I was just a small child, but he went into a town to start a church and decided he was young and he said, well, I'll just tell you, it was my daddy, but he was young, and I was real young. But his wife, which is my mother, her daddy, had raised his family, and all he did all his life was just go into the town and start yelling, "Come over here, everybody, we're going to have church." Didn't matter where he was, he could draw a crowd. And they start picking the guitar, singing. He had 12 kids, and they had an old beat-up vehicle with a chicken coop on back, and they didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They were hoping somebody would bring them some chickens. And when they did bring them, he'd tell them, "Go back home and fry them. We can't cook them. We don't have nothing to cook them with." But that's how they lived. And so my dad decided, well, I'm going to try it. And so he took me and my sisters and my mother, I guess just one sister at that time, they went to this little town, stood on the street, and said, "Come over here, everybody, we're going to have church." And they all went the other way. "Yeah, come on over here, we're going to have church right here on the street." And they'd get on the other side of the street and go running down the street. He just stood there, tried it a few more times, and finally he said, "Well, go on to hell where you started." Turned around, got in the car, said, "Let's go home." Now that's not what his ministry was all about. He learned some lessons at that time. I just felt my belt tied up. He said, "You weren't supposed to tell him that." That's my daddy's belt. Did you see me almost fall down? He almost jerked me over here. Not really. Don't you believe that now. But that's what he did. He was going to hell where you started, you know. He didn't mean that. But it seemed like that town had a curse on it from that time on. Preacher after preacher went to that town. They couldn't get anything going there. But I hope this is not a town where all we're ever going to have from this point on is the same crowd. After all the people that have come through here, after all the preaching that's been spoken through the years, saying, folks, you know, some of you here will surely remember this. There's going to come a time when we're not going to have time to work on you. We need to all be in one mind and one accord. Because God's going to send us a harvest of souls, but he'll only send it when we're in one mind and one accord. He's not going to send a bunch of people and entrust them into our hands to represent him when we're having to be dealt with because of our unbelief, because of our lack of cooperation, because of our not paying attention, because of us getting jealous, because the preacher spends too much time with sinners. And I'm not saying anybody does that, but if you do, you need to snap out of it and grow up. And you need to become like the preacher and spend a little time with some sinners yourself. But don't become one. Amen. You know, when you're fishing, sometimes you have to just takes some time to open up the tackle box and you see things get a little tangled up. Now, they haven't always been tangled up, but you've had that tackle box around for a long time. So sometimes you have to take everything kind of out of it, and you get to look. You don't want to take it all out, but then because you want to get on to fishing, you know, you want to go. But you look, and there's things there. Now, there's a minnow from last week. I knew this thing was smelling. That minnow wasn't supposed to be there. Oh, I forgot I left those worms in this thing. And they're all dead because I had it in the back of the car and the sun came out. Ew. I don't know. Have you ever smelled worms after they've been in a car? If you've never experienced this, you don't know what it is like to reach your hand down in there and rub around a little bit and get all that stuff on your finger. Ew. Now, that was the time, and that was good bait. But this thing's stinking up my tackle box. And what do? Finally, you just turn it over. It doesn't matter now. You just dump it all out. It doesn't. Now, maybe tonight I'm going to dump all of you out, but I hope you don't leave before I put you all back in. Because I love you all. I love my tackle box. I love the bait in it. There's some things got in it a few times I didn't want in there because it stunk. And I didn't want to even put my hand in it myself. I didn't want to go fishing with that smell. Ain't nothing. Those worms, that smell of dead worms could gag a maggot. I'm telling you, it was terrible. Terrible. So you turned upside down. I was in a hurry to go fishing, but now I'm in a hurry to just get my tackle box smelling good and looking clean. Because I don't even want to go fishing. I want to straighten this mess up. I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to win another soul until I know that we're what God called us to be. I don't want any new people to come here. Please, don't bring them. You hear me? If you're not right, don't invite them. Praise God. Now, if you are right, invite them. But if you're just going through the motion and you're just thinking about everything in the world while I'm preaching, somewhere you became a minnow in my tackle box, and I want to get this mess out of here. But I don't want you to leave, because God has a way of letting a minnow come back alive again, and we put him back in the water. You're not a dead minnow that can't be salvaged. You know too much. You know too much to let the devil trick you out of this victory that's waiting on you. You know too much. You have too much. And you need to be preached to tonight. But don't let me have to preach to you next time I go to church. You come here with your own victory. And bring your disciple with you. And bring your ambassadorship with you. And bring your birthright with you. And bring your Holy Ghost power with you. And get up here and get yourself involved. And get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind off of the cares of the world. Don't be a dead worm in my tackle box. Don't be a deadbeat in the church of Jesus Christ. When you've got too much, you've had too much. Don't make us have to look back to see where you are. Be up here in the front with us. Be equal with us. Us being the people of God. There's a need. There's a cause. And this giant is not so big that he can't come down. God wants this church to be running over with people. You think the devil's keeping them out. No, it's Jesus that's keeping them out. Because they come, they're going to be just like you. They're going to look at you and say, how should I dress? And don't you tell them. Let them be able to see how you dress. And it needs to be right. Hallelujah. Right being what God has done in you. Look at Brother Wellington over there. I don't mean to use you as an example, but it didn't take long. I never told Brother Wellington how to dress, what to do with his hair. He don't look the same. He don't look the same. And I look at all you, you don't look the same. Brother Rick, you don't look the same. Amen. You're better looking now than you were when you are. You're a good looking man. Amen. You don't look the same. God has a way when He starts cleaning us up. It shows up on the outside. It's not a rule. We don't make rules. You got to dress this part. If we had to do that, we might as well go back under the law. We might as well go back and say, "Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not." No, God gave us grace. God nailed the law to the tree, and then He placed the law in our heart. Now, from your heart, you serve God. From your heart, you clean your life up with God's precious blood through Jesus, cleansing you from all your sins. And when that happens, you see the world in a different light. Suddenly, you don't want to be worldly anymore. The things that attract people to people in the world, you want to be sanctified. You want to be holy because God put a new spirit in you. It's not the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of sin. God rescued you from that. All of a sudden, your appearance even changes. You're sanctified. You're holy. It's not a rule. It's not legislation. It's not somebody saying, "You better dress like this or else." No, you can come here any way you come here. You're welcome to testify because we're not looking at how you dress. We're not looking at your facial hair. We're not looking at your earrings. We're not looking at your lipstick and your rouge and all your makeup. We're not looking at your long hair or your short hair. We're looking at you as somebody that came to a place where there's unity, to a place where there's victory, to a place where the word goes forth. Hands are clapping. Hands are raised. People are shouting, "Hallelujah! Glory! Thank you, Jesus!" Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not looking back, but say, "Come on, give me more." So that the people that come and those who are watching can say, "Hey, there's something different about these folks. Never spake a man like this man." You mean they haven't shut them down yet? No, you know there's a lot of talk about what's going on here. Shouldn't we at least let the city hear what they got to say before we arrest the whole bunch? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, Norwich Tabernacle is one of the most talked about groups of people in this town. And it ain't all good talk. Some of it is. We are one of the most confusing groups that Norwich has ever known. But don't let you become part of the confusion. Please. You pour that tackle box, turn it upside down, you beat on it. I've done this many times. I've had all kinds of critters come out of my tackle box. You beat on it. That still doesn't get it all out. I could beat you tonight just with a word. There's so many things I could say because I know where I am. It don't take just one of you not being with the rest of us to cause me to have to preach like this. Sometimes it may be three or four. Where three or four get it together, you can rest assured the devil will be in the midst of you if you're not gathered in the name of Jesus. So here we are, trying to get the power of God going. Plenty of us said, I got Jesus, and four or five of you said, I got a devil. But all 25 of you used to have Jesus. So what we got? We got a bunch of people with Jesus and five devils, and so we got to turn this tackle box upside down and beat on it a little bit and say, "You were like that, but you don't have to stay like that. Whatever it was that caused you to change the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you behave yourself, is still available today." Amen. Hallelujah. Shake it a little bit. Then what do you do? Well, what I used to do, my water hose wasn't strong enough to get all the pieces of worm out of it and the smell out of it. I'd go down to car wash where they got that little thing you spray, you know. And I'd put my quarters in and I'd get that power hose. And I'd go right in that tackle box. And if that didn't get it all, if I thought it didn't get it all, I'd put another quarter in. And I would water that thing. The fish can wait. Because I don't want to go out there in that lake without my tackle box being clean. I don't want to go into the streets of Norwich without this church being what we say we are on television. And on the internet. And to the visitors when they come in. They need to see every one of you fighting over these front seats. Amen. Stumbling to try to get here first to testify. And to look at the clock to make sure you don't past the time limit allotted in case you get thrown out of the church, which won't happen, but I want you to feel like it might. Amen. Because when we say what the pastor wants to be done, then your job to keep the tackle box clean is to cooperate. Because the new ones come in and say, what am I part of? Don't let the answer be confusion. Division. Jesus has always been able to gather a crowd and cause the situation to happen where there's a mix of confusion, division, and conversion. And it's such a mix that those that want to do something bad feel like they can't because of those that just got converted, and those that want to do something good don't know what to do because they haven't become discipled yet, but they believe on Him now. And then there's that group in between, I don't know which way to go. And this is what comes among us all the time. Amen, all the time. There's a reason why crowds come when we put on a promotion and fill the place up. And then there's a reason why they're hard to find after a while. Because the power is where the unity is. The power is where the faith is what it was. The power is where the cleansing has already taken place. And when you came to church, you that had been going to church for all these years, you didn't have to be the one receiving this preaching. You were up there saying, yeah, come on, tell it. Remember how good it felt? Hey, I can close that book. I will close it. I ain't through, though. Internet audience, please. Know this. It's been a while we haven't used all four of our cameras. Amen. There's a reason for it. We got kids that are raised in this church that don't know the right hand from the left hand right now because of confusion that they don't have to have. They come to this church of truth. Amen. The reason our website's changed because of confusion. They didn't have to be there. Right. Now, I'm not against any of these people. I'm just saying the seed that was planted can still grow. That's why I don't want anybody coming to these mic and saying anything about anybody that's ever been here because you don't know what you might be right now. You just need to make sure you're holy and acceptable unto God. Let the preacher do all the preaching. You testify and you shout. Don't say anything to anybody because God's still got a crop here. The tackle box needs to be turned upside down. And then we still need all of them to see, oh my, this is what I once experienced. I never knew joy like I knew back then. And let them come back in the door, no matter who they are, without a history. They don't need to have a history of internet and video and everything that's recorded. You blasting them because they're out. Because the time they get here, if you keep doing that, they'll be having to say something about you. Leave all that up to the ministry. Leave it all up to the preacher. And you just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Well, I can't think of anything to praise Him for. You're the one I'm talking to. Wake up and smell the roses. This is your church. This is where you found your God. This is where you left the world to serve Him with all your heart. This is the place where you gave up the devil here. I remember when you had those hands up. I remember when you were lying on that floor speaking in tongues. I remember when you came out of that water with your mind made up, I'm going to serve Jesus. I remember when you were singing those songs. I remember the anointing that was on you. Don't think and worry about those that are not getting in on it. Pray for them. But beyond that, pray that you don't enter into the evil. That wants to take every one of us out. Beware. Beware. Lest you let yourself become one who once walked with Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't let Jesus be a history lesson in your life. Don't let it be something that used to happen in your life. Jesus wants to be one to lead us, not stand behind us and watch us do our thing, but He wants to lead us. The model prayer that we were taught to pray is, lead us not into temptation. Because He always answers that prayer when we pray it. That's why He wants us to pray it. Because He knows if we're being tempted and then we start yielding to that temptation, He's not the one who's leading us. He doesn't lead us into sin. He does not lead us into thinking about going back. You have to leave the leading of the Lord to have thoughts of doing anything that's in your former life. You might have done it 1,000 times, but you need to come to that one time before you come to some time which could be the last time you don't make it. Because that last time might be just before a car wreck takes you out. Or a heart attack. It could be anything. We need to stay ready. Don't worry about all the prophecy teachings about the end time. The end's coming for you, whether it comes in this century or not, it's coming for you. And it may be tonight. Amen. You might die before, during, or after your tribulation period, but you are going to be in a world where tribulation does exist. How many of you know that's true? The Bible even says in this world you have tribulation. So if the Lord sees fit to take you out before tomorrow morning, why not make sure you're ready? Because we talk about Jesus is coming soon, and we live as though, well, I can go ahead and do my own thing because I don't think He's going to come for a while. No, look. Jesus, if He ever blessed you, remember that blessing. Hallelujah. Pick up your own tackle box. You remember ever witnessing to anybody? Are you able to go to that person now that you witnessed to and look them straight in the eye and say, it's still right, I'm still saved, and God's my Savior, and everything's all right? And if you can, you can go fishing. You got a Wren Rutledge accepted tackle box, approved by Wren Rutledge. Got my signature on it. And right there, oh, there's another signature. Jesus Christ. Signed by Jesus Himself. Take that tackle box. Let me smell it. Smells sweet. Smells sweeter than my fragrance in my office. Yes. Woo. It smells like the rose of Sharon. Such a sweet smelling savor. Man, fish would want to bite this just because it smells so good. I have actually had bait that I smelled of and I thought, man, they'll love this. I did. Plastic worms. They even have flavored plastic worms. I've tried grape, strawberry. Almost ate them. They look so good, smell so good. I just thought, if I was a fish, I'd want this. As a fish. You know what I usually called them? That old one that didn't look all that good, but it did the work. The one I used over and over had part of it bit off. Been on the hook so many times, part that showed that you put on the hook, I had to just tear part of it off because there wasn't no places to stick it. So, but that somehow that one's the one they wanted. All these sweet-looking ones and all these nice-looking ones that smell so good. Amen. Look, you don't have to be absolutely perfect to enter into what I'm talking about. God still wants to be able to work on you, too. No, don't come in here feeling condemned because the preacher's trying to say something and you're feeling like, oh, he's talking to me. No, I dare say there's been 10 people already felt that way tonight. Maybe 20. In fact, if I keep talking, I might have to join you. But the deal is this. I'm not here to run you off. I'm not here to put you down. I'm not here to put you on a guilt trip. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to do something that Jesus does. And that is to give you hope. That's what it means, Christ in you. The hope of glory. I'm not saying you lost your Jesus. I'm not saying you lost the ability to follow Him. I'm just saying this, you may not understand. You're thinking about life too much. You're thinking about what you've got to do too much. You got your mind on responsibilities and things that are going on in your world so much, and it's crowding out what Jesus is trying to say that He's always been saying to you. That there's nothing of this world that can even come close to comparing to what you already have in Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's the way you felt about it when you did rejoice. That's the way you felt about it when you gave Him your whole being. That's the way you felt about it when you surrendered your all to Jesus. So how are you feeling tonight? What has the world done for you? What has life done that you can rejoice about? You got any problems? Who caused it? Was it Jesus? No, it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. Turn your tackle box upside down. Admit you've got some problems and let's get it solved. Everybody stand. Let's get it resolved. Let's get it resolved. Don't just come for a little washing. Let Jesus spray you with a power hose. You know what? If you got a devil in you so strong you're not even listening and all you're feeling is resentment, you really, really need to really examine yourself. Because the next thing you'll do will be something you thought you would have never done. And if you're already planning it, you need to rebuke that devil. Do like that dope guy did. I rebuke me in Jesus' name and mean it. If you need to, come and get the oil and anoint yourself. And I'll join you. We'll all join you. We'll cast the devil out of you. Because that's exactly what you got. If you went through this message and you're still planning and thinking and scheming and knowing what you're going to do and not listening, you're in trouble. And I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying God's here to get you out of your trouble. But if you leave here in the same mess you came in, you may never make it back, but I hope you do. Some don't make it. They seem to go out, and many are dead now and can't make it. We've had a multitude of people come through here who are in the grave tonight. Amen. Baptize them. They died a few days later. Baptized one man, he died the same week. Amen. Not because we baptized him. That wasn't why he died. That's a good thing we caught him in time. You might need to come tonight and come clean with God, because perhaps this will be a time when we can catch you in time. Because it's not just about baptism, it's what are you doing with what you got. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you doing with what you got? I told somebody tonight, you can receive the Holy Ghost tonight, and I believe that with all my heart. Yeah. You know, it's a whole lot easier to receive the Holy Ghost when you're surrounded by people full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't all the people that go to this church regularly, been going for a long time, come to the altar first, and then those who want the Holy Ghost or want to get recharged in God, come and work your way into the crowd and see if you can get in the middle of them. Let's do that. Oh, you've been going here for a long time, for a lot of years maybe. And everybody needs the Holy Ghost or needs a special blessing. Come and force your way through this crowd. Try to put yourself in front of somebody. And if they try to get in front of you, back up and let them get in front of you. Amen. Because we're here for them. We're here for them. And you can get yourself all cleaned up. You can become all cleaned up while you're praying for them. You know what to do. All it takes for you to do is make up your mind. I'm in this church and I'm going to stay with this church. And the devil has no choice. He gets out. You don't have to have us lay hands on you and cast your devil out. You just make up your mind which way you're going to go right now and he'll be gone. Draw nigh unto Jesus. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And now that you've done it, turn around and pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Hallelujah. Pray for somebody.